Centers for Spiritual Living, of which we are a part, has a thing that they call the Global Heart Vision. And that is the vision that leads us as an organization. And one piece of that Global Heart Vision says, we at Centers for Spiritual Living, we see Centers for Spiritual Living as a global community of inspired individuals caring for and about each other and the entire planetary family, thereby bringing the gift of active compassion and kindness to the world. So we at Centers for Spiritual Living and we here at Living Beyond Limits believe in caring for and about each other. We believe in being of service to each other and to the whole of the planet and to all of humanity and to bring that into the world. We stand for and believe in and are committed to doing our part to creating a better world. And those actions to do those things are naturally born out of a deep spiritual realization, a deep spiritual realization of our own essential nature, of who and what we are, that essential nature within us is love and is wholeness and is goodness, the good itself. And so we are being called today to act from that deep spiritual realization. We're being called to act from our spirit and that spiritual awakening, to act from our true nature, that spiritual essence that we each have within us. And then from there, listening to that deep spiritual guidance within us and to come from that place, from that divine self, the divinity within us. And so the title of my talk today is With This Ring. And I'm talking about the marriage of our human self with our divine self. The marriage of our personality with our spiritual nature. The marriage of our ego and our spirit. Because it takes both of those to be effective in the world. Because if we were to only come from our spirit, there would be no other out there. There would be no sense of separateness. There would be no differentiation or otherness. And if we come solely and entirely only from our ego, from our personality self, then the only one we really care about is ourselves. Or perhaps our family or our friends or those in the world that agree with us, as long as they agree with us, those people that happen to be like us. So I'm talking today about courting your divine self, communing with that divinity within you. And then committing to living in close contact with that indwelling God. The union of ourself with ourself. The union of our personality with our essential nature. So with this ring, I thee wed myself to myself. My personality to my divinity. I know that all of us in this room want to make this world a better place. And I think to make a difference in this world. And I think the very first step in doing that is that communion with our own spiritual nature, that communion with our essence, our spiritual essence, and then allowing that to be the thing that guides us, the thing that informs our choices and our actions from listening within and being in contact with that. Because how we behave in this world, how we behave in our lives, is significantly different when our actions are motivated from that place within us. When they are motivated from spiritual connection and from love and from peace and from oneness. And so we want to make a positive difference in this world. We want to experience that kingdom of heaven here, now. And as spiritual beings, we don't only want that, we have a need then to express and to bring forward that love and that good and that peace and to bring those things into the world. And then what happens is the more we commune with our spiritual essence, the greater our communion is, the greater the need is to bring that into the world. They go hand in hand. It's born out of that inner realization. Martin Luther King said, "I don't march because I like to. I march because I must. I must bring my spirit into this world. I must give voice to my spiritual essence. I must commune with that part of myself and then bring that into the world." And so I read a story this week that I'd like to share with you. It is out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. It says, "It all went down on a block in Benton Harbor, Michigan back in 2005. Jameel McGee said he was minding his own business when a police officer accused him of and arrested him for dealing drugs. It was all made up, said McGee. Of course, a lot of accused men make that claim, but not many arresting officers agree. Police officer Andrew Collins served time for a number of crimes, including framing Jameel McGee for selling drugs. He says, "I falsified the report. Basically, at the start of the day, I was going to make sure that I had another drug arrest. And at the end of the day, he put an innocent guy in jail. I lost everything," McGee says. "My only goal was to seek him when I got home and to hurt him. Eventually, that crooked cop was caught and served a year and a half for falsifying many police reports, planting drugs, and stealing. Of course, McGee was exonerated, but he still had spent 3 years in jail for a crime he did not commit. Today, both men are back in Benton Harbor, which is a small town, maybe a little too small. Last year, by sheer coincidence, they both ended up in a faith-based employment agency, where they now work side by side in the same cafe. And it was those cramped quarters that the bad cop and the wrongfully accused had no choice but to have it out." Collins said, "Honestly, I have no explanation. All I can do is say I'm sorry." And McGee said that was all it took. That was pretty much what I needed to hear. Today, they are not only cordial, they're friends. Such close friends, not long ago, that McGee actually told Collins he loved him. And I just started weeping because he doesn't owe me that. I don't deserve that," Collins said. And the part that stood out the most for me in this story was when McGee was asked why he forgave Collins, did he do it for himself or did he do it for Collins? His response was, "I forgave him for all of our sake. All of our sake. The whole, the collective humanity. I forgave him for all of us." Is that amazing? And so we are being called to live from that place of oneness and connection and love, to make a difference in the world. And so in order to live our most fulfilling life also, we then must commune with that deepest part of ourselves, that deepest spiritual essence, and give voice to it. Because to not give voice to that part of ourselves would be like not allowing a bird to sing. A bird needs to sing. We have a need to express our spirit and to bring it into the world. The problem is, though, is that our ego sees through a different lens than our spirit sees. Our ego sees through that lens of otherness and separateness. Our ego sees everything out there is other. It is different and it is separate than me, and therefore it is suspect. Therefore, it is not safe. Therefore, it is sometimes dangerous. Those out there might take what is mine, so I have to protect myself and defend myself. Those out there are wrong and I am right. That's the lens that the ego sees through. And the lens that the spirit, The ego, what happens with the ego is it thinks that this material realm is more real than the spiritual realm. Our personality, human self, doesn't see and realize that what's out here is an effect to a cause, and the cause is in consciousness. The cause is inside of us. The cause is our attitudes and our thinking and the way that we believe. because that's what creates the world, whether we are talking about individual consciousness or collective. This entire world that we see is created out of the collective belief systems and attitudes and feelings of humanity. And we create our world through our belief systems and attitudes and feelings, and that influences the whole. That's the way that it works. And so when we are anchored in our spirit, and when we are motivated from love and from oneness and from truth and enoughness and our wholeness, there we have the power to change things. There we have the motivation and the centeredness to bring something different and something new into the world. That's where our power lies. Not in old causation, in consciousness and in being in consciousness what it is that we want to see. So as we commit to living with unity with our self, with a capital S, our God self, then we begin to create heaven on earth. But it takes commitment. It takes committing to do that because it's not always easy. And so then what does that commitment to living as our spiritual self look like? That commitment to being the divine presence in action. The very first thing, or one of the first things that it looks like, is by forgiving. Forgiving others. And so in Matthew 18:21, Peter asked Jesus, "How often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? Jesus said, "No, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. That means that we forgive until we are complete, until there is nothing left in us that holds anger or hatred or resentment towards that other person. Ernest Holmes says, "From selfish reasons alone, if no loftier reason, we cannot afford to find fault, to hate, or even to hold in mind anything against any living soul. The God of love cannot hear the prayer of the one who fails to love." As long as we are holding resentment and anger and hatred, we cannot experience that divine presence. We can't experience that one from which we come, because we have removed ourselves from that presence. We have removed ourselves from that presence of love and that presence of good. We can't experience our own spirit because we've stepped out of it and stepped out of that realm. And the second thing to do to commit from living your spirituality, living from your divinity, is to act with kindness and with love out in the world. And so Jesus, the Christed One, that he who was of Christ consciousness, said, "You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." So that you may be children of your Father in heaven, like you are a child of the 70s, and therefore you embody those characteristics, so that you may embody those characteristics of that one source. In John 13:34, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." That's our command. Not to love the people we like, not to love the people that are our friends. Our call is to love everyone, to step outside of our little box and to bring that love into the world and to be that presence of love. So your job then is to be the presence in action, not to match the behavior of the other people in the world and the people that are around you. It's to be the presence in a way that transforms things. Your job is to bring the divine into this world. That happens out of a union of your soul and your humanity, out of communion, inner communion of meditation and courting the very essence of who you are. Spending time in nature, reading things that are inspiring, whatever enables you to get in touch with your essence. Your job is to bring heaven to earth, that kingdom of heaven that is already inside of you. Jesus said, "Behold, the kingdom is within." Ernest Holmes says, "But that kingdom must be recognized." We have to recognize it, discover it, find it, tap into it, grow it, nurture it, fan the flames in order so that it comes forward naturally. Pollyanna Darling says, "Every reaction is an opportunity to cultivate a pearl, a beautiful truth that will illumine your way forward." That grit in our lives, those challenging things in our lives, that's what creates the pearl. Without the sand in the oyster, you'd never have that beautiful pearl. That's the grit in our lives that compels us to grow that love inside of us in a bigger way than we'd known before. It's the thing that compels us to bring our spirit forward as love and as peace and as truth and as oneness. And so the very third and last thing that that looks like, that commitment to bringing your divinity into the world, that commitment of with this ring, ivy, wed myself to myself, is living with a sense of connection with other people and connection with the whole. Because it's as we do that, that's the thing that enables us to feel like this is our family of humanity, to feel like we are brothers and sisters with each other everywhere that we go. That's the thing that opens our hearts so that we automatically care about other people and then want to help and assist and do good in the world. That's the thing that opens our hearts to care for the whole and for this planet. Ernest Holmes says, "It is a law that the man who sees what he wants to see, regardless of what appears, will someday experience in the outer what he has faithfully seen within." We look within and find that love and find that presence. And then we hold that vision for this world, hold that for humanity, and then we look out onto the world through those eyes of connection, through the eyes of oneness, through the eyes of brotherhood, through the eyes of unity and kindness and love and equality. That changes the world. We are called to see that truth in our own visualization and meditation, to see it with an inner eye, to meditate on it, to let that truth grow in us so that it becomes more real in our consciousness, so that then it can become magnified in this world. Magnified and multiplied as it touches others like fire and they catch on. We are like a pine cone that is filled with seeds. And as we move through our life, those seeds spill out onto the earth so that they may take root and grow a forest around us. I saw a short movie last night, and it was about a man in India and where he lives because of climate change. Every year there is more flooding and more flooding, and what has happened is the land has been eroded so much that it's just barren now. In 1979, he started planting trees, taking his boat across the river far in and planting seeds from the trees. 1979, he still continues to plant trees every single day, and now that area that he has planted is bigger than Central Park. And in that area now there are also lots of other plants from seeds that birds have carried. It is filled with life. There are a herd of elephants that live there in that forest 3 months out of the year. And there are tigers, and there are deer, and there are all kinds of animals in this new ecosystem. And he continues to plant to fill that ground because it stops the erosion having the plants there. So that's what we're being called to do, is to plant that one seed by seed of being this presence in the world. And so my invitation to you is to commune with your own divinity, to take time to be in the silence and to meditate and to discover who I am, what I am, to contemplate that until that becomes very real for you, to meditate and contemplate your relationship to the divine and your relationship to the whole of things. My invitation to you is to forgive until you are complete, until there's nothing left wherever your resentments are that you hold, to act with kindness and with love out in the world, and to live with a sense of connection to everyone and everything. Then we will be creating heaven on earth. And so I'd like to close with a quote from Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Behold, a new heaven and a new earth. We, each one of us, one action and one word and one thought and one behavior at a time, are creating that new heaven and that new earth here now." And so blessings to every single one of you as you bring this divine presence and your own spirit, your own soul into this world that makes an impact on everyone and everything. I thank you, and I'm so grateful that you are doing this work. So blessings to every single one of you. And so I invite you to join me in affirmative prayer. And so we take our attention right now from this world of form, this world of effect, and turn within where lies this infinite presence of this infinite one. For it is always closer than breath and nearer than hands and feet. For we live our lives within this presence. And this presence lives itself out in us and through us and as us. This presence that permeates all things and expresses as all things surrounds us. This entire universe is permeated with that one. And so I know that we walk in this presence today. We walk with this presence, and yes, indeed, we walk as this presence, bringing love into this world, bringing peace into this world, bringing unity and brotherhood and connection and oneness and truth and light into this world as a blessing for ourselves and for everyone. For as we change our relationships, as those encounters are changed, it acts as a ripple effect into this world. And everything is changed. And so I claim and I know right now that each and every single one of us is being led and guided by this inner presence. For that innermost God and that outermost God are one God. And so we are being led by that today to be this beneficial presence in this world. And that is what is unfolding through us, the activity of God. And so I bless the path of each and every one of us in this room. And I say thank you, God, for this unfolding and for this good in our lives. And so I know that this is not just the truth about us here in this room, But I know that every single person on this planet is one with that presence. That each and every single person is an individuation of that one. And right now, it is unfolding itself in the heart and the mind and the body and the life and the heart and the home of every single person. Love unfolding. Peace unfolding. Wisdom unfolding. Good unfolding. And behold, there is a new heaven and a new earth, and we are in it. And so I give thanks for this truth, and I rest in this with faith and with confidence and with trust, because it is the truth. God here, God now, God always. And so I let this prayer go, and I let it be, and I say thank you, God. And so it is.